Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show. I am Eddie Feary. Yesterday we talked about the Greater Thumb Conference. Today we talk about the Blue Water Area Conference and high school eight-player football. Nowhere, I do believe, do we get more in-depth discussion in the Thumb area of media of high school eight-player football. With me is special guest Mike Gallagher of the San Lake County News. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. It's a beautiful Tuesday.
Yeah.
Didn't really get to hang out with you guys too much yesterday, so I'm looking forward to getting into some talk tonight. Especially, as you said, eight-player football. We got some exciting stuff to talk about.
Yeah, he's pretty excited, especially his play-by-play partner, Chris Wilcox. With me is Scott Bowlesby on the phone with us from the Tuscola County Advertiser. Scotty, how you doing,
man? Good. How are you guys doing today?
Great. The Kingston Cardinals, yeah. Boy, I'm down the drain in the hole. I think the mob's after me. hey, what a historic win. And, man, must be pretty cool to see that and witness that.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Definitely a big story in the Advertiser tomorrow, and a lot of excitement surrounding that game.
All right, let's go down the list of scores in the Greater Thumb Conference. On Friday, it was the Ubley Bearcats staying undefeated, defeating the Cass City Redhawks 42-7. Harbor Beach Pirates, they defeat the Sandusky football team 28-6. Marlette Red Raiders stay in the playoff hunt. They defeat Memphis 46-16. The Bad Axe Hatchets chops down the Vassar Vulcans 59-7. The Lakers floods Reese Rockets, dousing the flames of that rocket 48-12. Unionville Seabling Patriots, they have a football team? Yes, they do. And they defeated the Carroll Tigers 22-14. Into the Blue Water Area Conference, it was Armada over Wyoming. They came all the way from the state of Wyoming to play in the state of Michigan. No, there's a Wyoming, Michigan, by the way. 41-14. The Yale Bulldogs getting the win over Emily City, 42-13. The North Branch Broncos still undefeated, running roughshod over the Richmond Blue Devils, 62-10. It's not going to be a happy Halloween for the Blue Devils. And the Elmont Raiders, I'm saying the Raiders, defeat the Crosville Lexington Pioneers at homecoming 37-26. Huge win there, Mike.
Yeah, big win for Elmont. Really throws a wrench into things in the BWAC. Really opens things back up for, you know, maybe Armada to make some noise. I'm sure North Branch was appreciative of Elmont getting the win there. But when you look at Croslex, you know, everything's still on the table.
Yes.
You still got North Branch in front of you. You still have the win over Armada. Unfortunately, you're probably not going to get that BWAC title outright anymore. But, you know, everything's still on the table. Playoffs are still on the table. You still got two, you know, huge games with North Branch and Freeland. So I'm looking forward to seeing what Croslex does from here on out.
Eight-player football, the Brown City Green Devils defeat Britton Deerfield 60-38. And in the NCAA player, it was the Mayville Wildcats, thanks to the assistant coach Goldie Hahn helping out, shutting out Genesee 50-0 on a Thursday night. Kingston over Deckerville 56-20. Scotty B, was Chris Wilcox crying?
I had to bring the tissue along. No, he was definitely he was an excited individual, and on top of it all, Owen Corliss is his cousin, so just a very happy night all around for Chris. You could definitely tell there was a pep in his step when he left the box that night.
The Kingswood bar was going crazy, probably. The fans were gathering on the old ball field out there.
Yeah, I'm sure there was a party unlike any other in Kingston on Friday evening.
Yeah, what year was it they last defeated Deckerville?
87, September 25th, 1987, and it was a 9-3 ball game, so completely different look this time.
Wow. Congratulations to Kingston. Now, Deckerville will get a crack at Mayville. Maybe they'll bounce back, but we'll see. Mayville's got some game. Peck Pirates.
One of these weeks you'll get it.
Stars division or Stripes division? Help me out, Mike.
One of these weeks you'll get it right, man. It's the Stripe. Peck is in the Stripes division. It is a little bit confusing because in every other sport, Peck is in the Stars this year, but for football, they're in the Stripes.
That's right. The Peck Pirates defeat North Huron 44-6, and Peck get ready to stay in that hunt for that league title as they have a homecoming Saturday afternoon game against New Haven Merritts. Bay City All St. Cougars. It was a cat fight as they defeated the Carsonville Port St. Lake Tigers 55-24. Speaking of New Haven Merritts, the Mustangs take down Caseville 52-6. Auburn Hills Oakland Christian takes down Burton Atherton 50-12. Man, they're still smarting all over that loss over Kingston. Otherwise, they'd be in the hunt for the league title, but they might get help. You never know. Farwell over K-Peck by a touchdown, 46-40. And on Saturday, I do believe, Scotty, you're at this game. The Vikings were so close to blowing that horn, but they blew it as Ashley defeats them 52-46 in overtime. Great game, though.
I was actually watching that at NFHS. I tuned in and watched that. I had that going the Michigan game, and man, I was cheering so hard for the Vikings, and they just could not get it in at the end and do that interception, and that was all she wrote.
They just needed the God of Thunder or Lord Odin to help them out. Even Zeus to help them out, you know? So, yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Coming back, we'll start doing some commentary and talk here on our coverage of the Blue Water Area Conference and high school player football here on WMIC AM 660 and 95.
This is Tanya Rubin, sales executive at Thumb Cellular. If you're thinking of switching mobile phone carriers, consider Thumb Cellular. Now is the time to get the tailored service you need from the local company you can trust. Unlike the other carriers, we like to build lasting relationships with our customers. I will work with your busy schedule to meet and discuss how we can best serve you. As the only local cellular carrier with the best coverage in the Thumb and nationwide, I can introduce you to what we call the Thumb Cellular Difference. Get the device you want, the plan you need, and the exceptional customer service you deserve without ever having to step foot in the store. So if you're ready for a better cellular experience, call me, Tanya Rubin, at 989-553-5282. Remember, at Thumb Cellular, we've got you covered.
You love Thumb Cellular.
Welcome back to Sportsline Radio, High School Football Sports Show, and let's talk about the Yale Bulldogs. They're 3-3, bouncing back from that overtime loss to the Crosville Lexington Pioneers, and a lot of offense once again as they went up against Emily City. 14 points scored in the first quarter, 28 more in the second. Emily City finally scored a touchdown in the third and fourth quarters. No points scored in the second half by Yale. By then, they're probably just running the ball at that point. 255 total yards, probably working with some short field there. 142 yards rushing for the Bulldogs. I guess the offensive yards passed the passing yards with 113 yards. Jack Hopp with the touchdown for Yale first. James Taylor Barr for a touchdown. And another one in the second quarter for him. 1 yard run. And a third one for James Taylor Barr. Then Seth Stade, a 24-yard interception return on defense, making it 35-0. James Taylor Barr with his fifth touchdown, 42-0. That was a short one. Third and fourth quarter by Emily City. Emily City, respects to them, 180 yards total yards, 108 passing yards, rushing yards, 72. The Yale Bulldogs, 3-3. We started to see some pretty good life, but you know, when you're missing some offensive players on your starting team with Croswell, you take advantage of it, and they did. Able to bounce back and get a good win here. They're 3-3. Kind of on the outside looking in. Is there any hopes of them sneaking in here, you think?
You know, I think they've got a solid chance. You know, they're sitting at 3-3 right now. This week they would have been playing Algonac.
Right.
So you're going to pick up the win there. So that puts you at 4-3. Almont the week after that.
That could be a good win.
That could be a good win. That's going to be a tough one for Yale to match up with, just with the way Almont plays, you know, their play style.
Now that Almont played against a passing offense like Croswell Lexington, that kind of helps them with this game against this Yale team.
Yep. And then Yale closes with Lutheran North.
Yeah.
Let's say you lose the Almont game, but you pick up the forfeit win over Algonac and, get the win against Lutheran. They opened the season with Annapolis. That's big playoff points. So this is potentially a team that could get into the playoffs at 5-4, especially when you got to win against Richmond. You've got to win against Emily City. Those are, you know, even the Algonac win is a pretty decent playoff points because of the size of Algonac. But Yale's a team, you know, in the preseason we thought, you know, this is a team that could maybe make that next step. But, you know, at the beginning of the season they get the big win against Annapolis. Now, we don't really know much about Annapolis. But then you have Armada and North Branch back-to-back. You get beat up by Armada 42-18. You get shut out by North Branch 51-0. So then at that point in the season, you're like, well, maybe Yale's not quite ready yet. But then, you know, right off the bat from after the North Branch loss, you beat Richmond 36-7. And at that point in the season, everybody was kind of talking about Richmond as maybe the surprise playoff team for the BWAC. So that was a huge win for Yale. And, you know, since then, they haven't really looked back. They had a tough loss to Croslex and then the big win over Imlay City. Now, Imlay City, that's a game you got to have. Yale should be beating Imlay City. But to take care of Imlay City so handedly and to pretty much have that game over by halftime is just really impressive. And, you know, you're going to have the week off here to prepare for Almont. And that's going to be a big test because, you know, when you matched up with Armada and North Branch, two of the top teams in the BWAC, you didn't really fare that well the first time around. Now, when you played Croslex, you were in the game. Now you just got to see if you can do it against Almont.
All right, and Yale, you got to be happy to the fact here, Mike. They've improved drastically since 2018. They've got three wins. Last year, 2-7. Back in 2020, 0-7. 2019, 2-7 also. Scotty, you know from your experience covering with Millington back in the Tri-Valley days, a healthy conference, especially at this day and age with the playoff points, is a good conference to have.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the BWAC is a strong conference. And then, you know, kind of touching on Yale a little bit here, they could look to Richmond for some help as well. Richmond is, if I'm looking at the playoff points right now, Yale is in right now.
Oh, wow.
With 35 points.
Okay.
So Yale's already, according to this, has a they're in Division 5, and they're going to be in the playoffs, according to this.
Okay.
As long as I'm reading this right. You know, Richmond is also just there as well. So if Richmond can keep winning, you know, that would help out Yale as well. Because did they beat Richmond?
They beat Richmond.
Okay. I know it's going to be tough for Richmond to beat a team like Almont and and in Armada even and Clintondale at the end of the season, but they could look to them for some help. But you know, they could also do the dirty work themselves and finish out the season winning out. And you know, if it was the sixth and you're in, they're perfect. But now you got to fight for those playoff points. But yeah, you know, Yale still has a chance. And as Eddie said, you know, it's great when you can have a healthy conference like this. When you know, week in and week out, you can pick up playoff points and know that you're going to have stiff competition every single week that'll get you ready for the next step. And I think, you know, that's always a great thing to have.
Oh, and plus, maybe I get another crack at an opponent that maybe you lost to earlier.
Yeah.
And you never know, so you set that up.
Absolutely.
There.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, that's the Yale Bulldogs. Good luck to them. They're up. Well, I don't think they have a game this week because they would have had Algonac.
Right.
But in a couple of weeks, they'll have Almont and Lutheran North. So.
Yeah, I haven't heard that they've picked anybody up.
I was looking around and couldn't find anything.
It's
so.
Probably a good call to just take that win.
Yeah.
Get ready for Almont.
Go scout that Almont game, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yep.
All right, we'll be right back here on Sportsline High School Football Sports Show talking about the BWAC. When we come back, got another game to talk about. We'll talk about the Armada Tigers into the North Branch Broncos as those two teams will face off. Then again, 6 o'clock hour, the Almont and Croswell Lexington game also come your way, and more 8-player football in the 6 o'clock hour. We'll be right back in our next segment here in the 5 o'clock hour on Sportsline Radio.
Hi. This is Steve Kohler with Kohler's Propane. Looking back, it's been a real nice summer, but each day is closer to fall and cooler weather. When it's time for your furnace to go on, will you be ready? You will be if you depend on Kohler's Propane. For 73 years, we've been keeping homes and businesses in the Thumb and Blue Water area warm and cozy. Our goal is to provide you with quality products and superior service. We guarantee your price for one full year, offer free tank installation, free safety inspection, plus keep full and budget plans are available. At Kohler's, we have a commitment to our customers and communities we serve to continue to provide the level of service we would expect ourselves. For information, call us toll free, 800-572-2191. Or visit our website, getkohlers.com. And remember, Nobody gives you gas like Kohler's.
Welcome back to Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show in the Blue Water Area Conference. The Armada Tigers get a win and pick up a game. Get the win over Wyoming, Michigan, 41-14, 6 of 8 passing, 86 yards, and two touchdown passes with 86 yards. Rushing-wise, 42 carries for the Armada Tigers, 316 yards, and had four touchdowns on the ground also for the Armada Tigers. Good win for Armada. It's good that they pick up a game because if you don't play against Algonac, you still get points, right?
You do, yes.
But you'll get more if you actually play a game?
I don't. Yeah. Okay, yeah. I was going to say.
I would assume so.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I think Wyoming is a bigger school than Armada.
I mean, it's a big area.
Oh, yeah, they're Class A. Yeah, that's huge playoff points then, yeah.
That's a Class A, but a 0-6 team.
Yeah, but so is Hamtramck. I mean, that's, you know, right. Everybody in the BWAC is playing Hamtramck for that same reason. And, you know, that is one of the, you know, kind of the flaws with the new playoff system is the playoff point system is, yeah, you get those big points for beating bigger schools, even if they aren't necessarily good. But, yeah, I mean, that's a great move by Armada. After the Cros-Lex loss in Week 3, I mean, they've just taken care of business. Imlay City, Elmont, Wyoming, three wins in a row. That Elmont win is looking really nice now.
Yeah.
And if you're the Armada Tigers, I mean, you got to be pretty happy with Elmont knocking out Cros-Lex last week, because now Armada, you know, they control their own destiny with North Branch this week. You know, if they can take care of North Branch, you got yourself a three-way tie in the BWAC. So.
Kyle Cohen for Armada, he's been the key to this offense. Also, 23 carries, 177 rushing yards, and two touchdowns in this game. They are a rushing team, you know, primarily for the Armada Tigers. So they're going to go up against another rushing team, the North Branch Broncos themselves. North Branch, no problem with their victory also, as they won against Richmond. Final score in that one, pretty substantial for the Richmond, for North Branch Broncos, 62-10. And, you know, North Branch is still undefeated. They played Thurston, Imlay City, Yale. I think the only real toughest game was against Elmont, and they got that win 34-14. Hamtramck 74-6, Richmond 62-10 last week, and Scotty. Now they're going to go through some tough teams here. They got Armada, Crosby, Lexington, and Three Rivers also coming up, who is 4-2, so not a bad team there.
No, yeah, absolutely. It's going to be, this is, I think, going to be, I mean, outside of Elmont, this is going to be the test, I guess, for North Branch coming down the wire here, to see if they can close it out. They have Armada, as you just said. Armada, tough squad this year, 5-1, I think they are right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Cros-Lex, obviously a big rivalry game there. Who cares about what happened to Cros-Lex? Who cares about who's out of the game? That's still a big rivalry game. And the Three Rivers game is interesting because it is at a neutral site. So that's going to be an interesting one as well. Three Rivers is meeting halfway in between, because Three Rivers is a trek. It's like 3.5 hours on the other side of the state or something like that. But, I think this is going to be where you really see what North Branch is all about. They've been putting up 50 or more points on all but one opponent this year, and that was against Elmont. So we'll see if they can keep up that with the offense. We'll see if the defense can keep up. They've only given up 37 points all season. So it's going to be interesting to see how they close it out and if they can close it out strong going into the playoffs.
And North Branch had 444 rushing yards against Richmond, 191 yards passing. This is something they started to put in to their offense a little bit here, and they did this against Richmond. Will Damasca, seeing if he would break out. He was 7 of 8, 191 yards, and three touchdown throws. So this is going to be a weapon now that they may have to show against our Armada Tigers. Ryan Henney, he had 10 carries, 199 yards, two touchdowns. So Will Damasca, this MB on his back. Adam Swash, is that how you say it?
Yep, Swash, yep.
Two receptions, 80 yards, one touchdown. And don't forget about his soccer goals also. I do believe that you had something you had wrote up about there, Scotty.
That's actually the other one. That's Landon Swash. Landon and
Aiden. Oh, okay.
I think Landon actually played both sports last year, but he's not this year. Just going back real quick, Eddie, you talked about Ryan Henny, 199 yards, 2 touchdowns. The week before that, he had like 20 yards rushing. Mm. So you just never know who's going to carry that load, the bulk of the load for rushing. But you're exactly right. They bring out the passing. They show it off a little bit, show that they do have it. Griffin Mayberry, Ryan Henny, Aiden Swash, all with the touchdown reception. And, you know, Will Demaska, not only can he throw the ball, you know, he only rushed the ball 2 times for 30 yards, but he is, you know, he obviously is known for his wheels as well as his arm. So he's a little bit of a dangerous threat there in the backfield, a dual threat. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see when they pull out more of the passing. I don't know what Croslex does against the pass, but it seems like they really love the rush as far as North Branch goes, as they rush for over 400 yards against Richmond.
Yeah, Lucas Chapman, let's not forget about him. 8 carries, 126 yards also, and 3 touchdowns also. This is the thing about Croswell, why they were able to beat Armada, I believe, Mike. They had that balanced offense because they had Groppy. They didn't have Groppy against Almont this past week 6. Whereas now you're seeing North Branch throwing that passing game there and the running game. If you're balancing that out, that was something Armada had trouble with.
Well, and I think, you know, so far this season, North Branch hasn't needed that passing game. Now, we've known that they've had that ability. We all know that Will Demaska is a good quarterback. But when you're beating teams by 50, 60 points, you don't really need to throw the ball around. Now, they also didn't really need to throw the ball against Richmond in a 62-10 win. But North Branch knows you're going to need to be able to throw the ball against Armada, and you're going to need to be able to throw the ball against Croslex if you want to win those 2 games. So to see the stat line that Damascus puts up against Richmond, that's really encouraging. And, yeah, like you said, they're going to need that against Armada because Armada did struggle stopping the pass against Croslex. Croslex does a little bit better job of stopping the pass than Armada does, but – if you're North Branch and you're just running the ball, then Croslex is going to be able to pin their ears back and just go after you. But if there's that threat of the pass, you know, you kind of have to think differently when you're playing defense. And I think North Branch, they're just playing so well right now. We've seen a lot of great things out of them, but we hadn't quite seen that passing game yet where it's not just 1 or 2 or 3 passes a game, but you know, the Richmond game, that's a huge step for North Branch in terms of their offense.
I do believe they kind of match up well rushing-wise. I mean, you've compared two running offenses. Armada does have 3 head monster, Kyle Conan, Zach Dykes, and also Vinny Foldale also, who's a senior. He has 286 yards rushing. Kyle Conan, 724 yards so far, and Zach Dykes, 314 yards. But we'll find out who's more physical, of course, with your offensive line to get those guys ahead also. So very interesting game here that actually I'm probably going to elect and help out Thumb Chugger Sports to cover that game Friday, because our game coverage on radio will be heading over on a Saturday afternoon for the Brown City Mesick game. So it's, okay. I think it's an interesting game there.
Yeah, yeah. So what is the main crew doing for...
I think we're kind of bouncing around at this point. Don't confirm it yet. We're still bouncing maybe Marlette Cassidy. That's an important game.
Yep.
And what game are you covering, Scotty?
I am actually going to be sticking with 8 player, and I am going to be in Akron Fairgrove.
Nice. Okay.
Place we haven't been in a long time, but, Akron Fairgrove, North Huron, it's kind of shaping up to be a good matchup. And Akron Fairgrove right there on the cusp of a couple victories this year, and just can't get over it, so maybe we can bring in some magic and broadcast our way to a victory with the Vikings. I'll have the horn prepared and everything.
Yeah, and I think it's important that we go see North Branch up against a good team and kind of make our judgment later on, you know, when it comes to those Paul Schmoes or maybe even team of the year.
Yeah.
So you might have to look at that. So that's what we're concerned about. All right. That is our wrap up coverage there of those teams. We still got more to talk about in the BWAC, Carrizo, Lexington, and Almont. Some big games this week alone. So we'll be back here on Sportsline Radio, High School Football Sports Show. Coming back here on WNIC AM 660 and 95.3 FM.
Tired Tired of your slow internet service that buffers when you're trying to stream a movie? Tired of hearing the internet is out again? Highline has started installing its new fiber to the home service in Sanilac County, and that solves these common internet problems forever. Connect every TV, phone, computer, and more to Highline's internet service, and you'll have the fastest internet connection available anywhere in the U.S. No contracts, unlimited data, and a fiber connection make Highline the best option in the thumb for your home's internet connection. Visit HighlineFast.com today for more information.
Liberty Lanes and Sandusky salutes the area athletes for their accomplishments and academic achievements. On your way to or from the game, come on into Liberty Lanes for a pizza or one of the many tasty entrees on the menu. Enjoy the Friday fish specials and come back for the Sunday brunch. Liberty Lanes also has banquet facilities available. For information or to place an order to go, call 810-648-9860. That's 810-648-9860. Liberty Lanes, your family dining and bowling center in West Park, Sandusky. Serving you for more than 40 years. You can find Liberty Lanes on Facebook.
Welcome back to Sports Line High School Football Sports Show. I'm Eddie Fury here in the 6 o'clock hour. Mike Gallagher from the San Lake County News with us. And from the Tuscola County Advertiser, Scott Bowlesby. Pick up both of these gentlemen's newspapers that come out tomorrow, Wednesday, and get the online edition also. By the way, this week's San Lake County News is free to everyone in your mailboxes.
I was going to say, you don't really have a choice tomorrow. You're going to have to pick it up because we're going to put it in your mailbox no matter what. This is our sampler edition. We do two of these a year. We send them out just so people can take a look at it, see if they like what they see, and maybe subscribe. As I had mentioned on the show a couple weeks ago, we got a new reporter, Casey Johnson, and she just has a ton of great stuff in this week's edition. So I really think that'll attract some people to maybe pick up a subscription, and I would highly recommend it. There's a lot of stuff going on, not just in sports, but Eric Levine and Casey, they both do a great job with the news, and you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in our communities that you may not know about unless you read about it in the paper. So,
where does she hail from?
She is from. She lives up north. She's worked at the Huron Daily Tribune. She's worked a little bit with the Huron County View. So she's somewhat local, and she's really just gotten right into it, and she's got some great stories. She was out in Port Sanilac last week for the house that they moved, which was kind of, moved the Bark Shanny house over to the Sanilac County Museum. But there's a lot of great feature stories in there about businesses around Sanilac County, some of the people in Sanilac County. Eric did a great job with a lot of election coverage. There's a lot of big school board votes coming up. So if you like what you see, you know, there'll be a form to subscribe in the paper. And if it's easier, you know, give us a call or,
All right.
Yeah.
And Scotty B, I know you got some pretty wild stories from schools, unfortunately.
There's some stuff in the paper, but sports section, huge thing on Kingston beating Deckerville finally. Actually, shout out to real quick to USA. Excuse me, two member equestrian team just actually won a regional title, Division D. It's not a MHSA sanctioned event, but. Still pretty cool for those young ladies at USA. So there's a little piece in there on them, and a lot of football and a lot of cross country as well, and some volleyball as well.
Well, real quick, while we're talking about USA, could you tell the people about the USA cross country team last week for a homecoming? When I heard that story, it was I honestly couldn't believe it. It seemed too crazy.
I was thinking about it. Good point, Mike. I was thinking about doing a small little feature on that, and I completely forgot. So that this will be my rebuttal. What they did was they started in Carroll at the high school with the football. The cross-country team did. One member did. And then they ran the ball a mile or whatever it was, or 2 miles, or I don't know the X amount they did, handed the ball off, kept going, handed it off, and then they ended at USA High School because Carroll played USA in homecoming on Saturday or on last Friday. So I've seen a couple schools do this now, and I know a couple schools want to try to do this. So it's actually a pretty cool thing to get other teams incorporated and kind of intermingle a little bit.
Absolutely, yeah. And for those that may not know, Carroll to USA is about 17 miles. So, I mean, that's a...
Roughly, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool. I thought that was a pretty neat story.
Absolutely. Very cool. And pick up your online subscription, because the Saturday edition only comes out online, but your Wednesday edition will be out tomorrow. Also right. From the Tuscola County Advertiser also. All right, so let's move into the Almont-Croswell game. Big win for the Almont Raiders after having two losses. Back in week five against Armada, 14-10. And then they also lost the week before to North Branch also. And that score was only 34-14, but still a loss, a key loss there for Almont. Now, with two losses in league play, they may be on the outside looking in, because very tough to make up that, two losses in league play. But they ended up pulling off a big win, an upset win over the Croswell Lexington Pioneers. They have 414 total yards, 173 passing yards, 241 rushing yards, to Croswell's 228 passing yards, 83 rushing yards, according to the Almont Raider huddle stats. Also, the key thing here, Almont took advantage of the turnovers. Fumbles, they led to points. They were down 20-8 at one point, but picking up those fumbles and getting some points, if it was a field goal, if it was for 6 points, touchdown and a PAT, they took advantage, and those were key points to get this huge win over Croswell Lexington at homecoming.
Yeah, and I feel like if you look at the three of the four top teams in the BWAC, Almont, Armada, North Branch, with their play style, with the way they run the ball, with the way they control the clock and, retain possession of the ball, if you have three fumbles in a game, which I believe that's what Croslux had, was three fumbles, they're going to capitalize on those mistakes. And especially North Branch. So if you're Croslex, this is obviously a tough loss, but this is going to give you the opportunity to, okay, go back to practice. We need to work on ball security and, shore things up. You got Imlay City this week, and then get right back at it for North Branch. Tough loss for Croslex. I think another thing that kind of stood out was the defense. Last week, giving up 29 points to Yale, 26 to Almont. Talking to Coach LeGros, this is the most points in a two-week stretch that they've given up since he's been the coach there. So they're going to have to look at some things on defense. Now, if you look at the Almont game, when the offense turns the ball over three times, Almont's going to have more opportunities to score points. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. And if you're Croslex, I think, Gavin Espinoza's done a great job at the quarterback position. He's an elite passer. It's hard because we were talking about this a little bit off air. When you look at Espinoza, you really want to compare him to Jake Townsend from the year before, and that's not really fair.
No, and there really is no comparison, I think.
Right, yeah. But I do think Gavin is an elite passer, maybe not as good of a runner as Jake was, and you kind of need someone to step up at that running back position. We saw John Herman in the Yale game. He was pretty good. He had 20 carries, almost 100 yards. Unfortunately, against Almont, he had two of the fumbles. That's a sophomore running back, though. So you're going to have those types of games. I think they just need someone to step up at the running back position because, Gavin can't do it all on his own. And, once they have that balance back, we saw it at the beginning of the year when they had Grappi at running back. That balance just made them such a hard team to stop on
offense.
Very
lethal. Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas when you look at the Almont game, you can really focus in on Gavin and really just focus your defense against him. He had, 41 passing attempts and then another 14 or 15 rushes. So that guy is the bulk of your offense, and it's going to be a little bit easier for defenses to focus in on him.
Yeah, 37 attempts according to the stats here. Okay. So almost near that.
Yeah.
Scotty, were you shocked about this score?
Yeah, a little bit. Elmont obviously was the one team so far, like I said, that has pushed North Branch this year, even contested against North Branch this year. And, when I was getting the scoring updates, I think, you know, Kroslex is up by 2 touchdowns. I said, okay, Kroslex is pulling away. They'll probably get the victory and, you know, continue to roll on. We'll have that big matchup with North Branch. But, and then Elmont comes, you know, storming back, end up pushing it, and they get the big victory. So, that's a big win for Elmont, who, even with 2 losses, is right up there at the top in the playoff points. I was kind of looking at theirs as well. And, with the win over Kroslex and a win over Marysville earlier on in the season, you know, those are huge playoff points for them, and, pushing North Branch as well. So that makes them look good. But, yeah, I was a little shocked, but I know Kroslex is down right now. And I really think that Elmont really came into this game thinking that they could knock them off. Kroslex obviously struggled a little bit the week before with Yale. So maybe Elmont learned a thing or two on that and jumped on a little bit earlier than Yale did and were able to pull the win off. So, kudos to Elmont for getting the job done and knocking off a good Kroslex squad.
Yeah, and really causing some stirring in the Blue Water Area Conference also. A very important win for Elmont also when it comes to playoff points. What was huge was we know that Croswell can score 12 seconds, 10 seconds of the clock, a minute left. Mm-hmm. Before the last touchdown by Elmont was one of the shocking ones. Second and I think 9 or 19, and they throw a pass to Cole Walton, the tight end, and he runs it in for a score, making it 37-26, and that really put it out of reach, you know.
Well, and I think at that point, everybody kind of expected Elmont to kind of just keep running the ball, keep grinding out the clock, and, you know, they kind of took matters into their own hands, went up by 2 scores, and said, okay, you know, now the ball is in Kroslex's court, and we'll see if you guys can score twice on us.
And this time, Elmont, just like North Branch, they have like sometimes 3 or 5 running backs, mm-hmm. and then you'll get one out of the blue. And one of them was Tyler Feilinger. He had a great game. He had 120 rushing yards in the game. He was one of the top running backs. Trenton Cruz, Elmont went to the passing game, 144 passing yards also. So they kind of do what North Branch, if they need to pull out the pass, they have it ready for you, you know. Mm-hmm. And So I just an all-around great performance, great job coaching, mm-hmm. great job by the players responding after 2 losses to some of the top teams right now, and now causing a mix-up in the Blue Water Area Conference. So this is one of those moments where, I'm in week 6. I'm a little tired now. I was like, when is the season going to move over? But this was the game. I was like, what's next?
Yeah, it kind of gets you fired back up again. Yeah.
And, Scotty, was that for you because – for you to cover the Kingston-Deckerville game in 8-player football is like, oh, I'm ready. What's next? You know?
Yeah, I mean, Millington, Santa Sterling followed up by Kingston-Deckerville has really kind of just it revved that engine back up for me halfway through because I was feeling that way. I was like, okay, we're dragging along now. Let's get to the playoffs. Let's go. You know, it's getting colder out. But then you start seeing these good games, and you're like, man, cold what? Like, I don't even care that the weather's changing. It's beautiful out here. Let's get some football on the field.
Yeah, what's crazy, the second quarter was a nutty quarter for both these teams. 14-8, Croswell takes the lead, and then they take another extending lead by 12 points with a 19-yard TD run, making it 20-8. But then Tyler Feilinger with a 45-yard run after a fumble recovery, by the way, and the next play, boom, they score. And it was 20-15, down by 5 points. And then they score again, a 25-yard run after a failed 2-point conversion, taking a 1-point lead, 21-20, and then a field goal, making it 24-20, but Croswell comes right back mm-hmm. with about a couple minutes left and score a Cody Mativier 13-yard pass from Gavin Espinosa. The kick was no good, and it made it Croswell taking lead 26-24, but then blew up in the fourth quarter. There was no scoring in the third quarter because Almut went back to the run, chipping away, and then started hurrying Gavin Esposito. They started throwing extra defenders on him, move him out of the pocket, started making mistakes or hurrying the pass, and that's what disrupted things for the Croswell passing offense.
Yeah, and you mentioned Cody Mativier with the touchdown catch. That's a sophomore tight end that they brought up for the Yale game. And that was another thing we've been talking about is, you know, having guys step up at the receiver position after the Drew Hosterman injury. And, you know, credit to Croslex. They've done that. Mativier's been fantastic. Trevor Soule, another 100-yard receiving game. Nick Monzo with a touchdown, first touchdown of the game against Almut. And Jackson Gonzalez, you know, having a few catches. So the passing game for Croslex, I mean, it's on point right now, I feel like. And, you know, there's a lot of different options. And that's kind of what they want to do is have different guys, have, you know, a lot of different options so that it's harder to defend. I think the Imlay City game, unfortunately, you know, no disrespect to Imlay City, but they are kind of the bottom of the BWAC this year. You know, they're having some growing pains with the new coach coming in late. So this will be an opportunity for Croslex to kind of work on some stuff, kind of get some things figured out without necessarily having to worry about the threat of losing. So I think it'll be the perfect opportunity to get ready for this North Branch game. And, you know, the Yale game, we kind of talked about that as maybe being a wake-up call for Croslex. And, you know, I'm not saying it's not or it wasn't, but the Almut game, that's going to show them that, hey, we can't have three turnovers. You know, we have to be as perfect as possible, especially with North Branch coming up. Because if they would have had this type of game against North Branch where they have three turnovers, you would have seen a similar result where you're losing by two scores. So, again, we kind of talked about this in the open. Tough loss for Croslex, but, you know, everything, all of your goals are still there for you. You still have the shot at the BWAC. You know, you got to beat North Branch, obviously. You got to take care of business against Imlay City. This is still a playoff team.
Yeah.
This is still a team with the potential to have a home playoff game. Now, you probably have to take care of North Branch and Freeland to get that home playoff game. But this is a team that, you know, has that ability. And I think they're going to be just fine going forward.
All right, Matt Mizo, I got to give credit to him. He had a touchdown reception also, 80 yards, five receptions receiving-wise for Almut. And also Chase Patani, he had a good, healthy 91 yards and a touchdown, 11 carries to keep that clock rolling. And he had one of the second-to-last touchdowns for Almut also. Good luck to the Almut Raiders themselves. They'll have Richmond. Can't look past that team also. As they continue on through the rest of the season. That big talk there on Croswell Almut game. We'll move into eight-player football when we come back here on the Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show. We'll be right back.
What does better internet mean to you? Is it faster speeds? An affordable price? Overall reliability? Or quality customer service?
There's a reason Agri Valley Services is the better choice for internet, and it's because we stand behind our service. We have faster speeds than ever before, and our prices are affordable with no gimmicks or hidden fees. We pride ourselves on our reliability, and our friendly customer service team is there to help when needed.
For the past 25 years, Agri Valley Services has simply done it better. We treat our customers like neighbors because we're local. Plus, our selection of plans are designed to meet the demands of today's internet users. Whether you're a family or a business, located in town or out in the country.
So what are you waiting for? Make the switch to Agri Valley Services and get better internet. Call the sales team today at 888-282-4932 or go to agrivalleyservices.com.
Run with us on a John Deere Z365R Z-Track mower. Built for taking it easy. That's right. We're talking lemonade on a lazy afternoon easy. Or a staycation with your garden gnome easy. Because we're all about keeping it simple. That's why we added the Easy Change 30-second oil change system. To make the job nice and simple. And with the convenience of standard mulch control, you'll control your clippings without any extra effort. So you can get back to the good stuff. Because lawns aren't just for mowing. They're for living. nothing runs like a deer. Get a new Z300 Series zero-turn mower with 0% APR for 24 months at your John Deere dealer today. For additional cost information, please call toll-free 1-800-226-8903.
See your John Deere dealer, Tri-County Equipment, with 11 locations serving you in Sandusky, Bad Axe, Carroll, Marlette, Lapeer, Burton, Fenton, Saginaw, Birch Run, Race, and Rochester Hills.
Make wash day a breeze with the help of Croslex Laundry and Tanning, 37 Ward Street in Croswell. They feature high-efficiency washers and super-hot dryers, like a 60-pound washer that washes 6 loads in a short amount of time. Turn your laundry day into laundry hour. And, of course, you can take advantage of tanning specials, too, at Croslex Laundry and Tanning, next to the railroad tracks in Croswell. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 7, Saturday and Sunday from 7 to 6. Bonnie and Eric salute the high school football teams for their fine accomplishments and wish them the best of luck.
Welcome back to Sportsline Radio, high school football sports show. We get into the high school A-player football after that long segment on Almont and Croswell-Lexington. So we're going to glean over the rest of the high school A-player teams, but however, this one you can't glean over. Huge win for the Kingston Cardinals. Pick up your local paper, Tuscola County Advertiser, on this story tomorrow. I think Mike might have a little bit of a write-up also in the addition of Sand Lake County News also.
Just a little bit of a roundup.
But more of the roundup is going to be in Scotty's paper tomorrow.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend reading Scotty's version of it.
Yeah, huge win for the Kingston Cardinals since 1987. Back in September, so it was way over how many years? From 87 to 2022. 35, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure Kingston is pretty excited to not have to hear about that anymore, because that was brought up every single year for the best maybe 5-10 years they played Deckerville. That was something that was brought up.
So. Yeah, final score was 56-20. I think Kingston Cardinals had handled the Deckerville Eagles handedly. Scotty B., tell us all about this game.
Yeah, it was a huge win for Kingston. And as Mike said, it's going to be, finally they got that monkey off their back. They're done with it. They were able to... I kind of talked to Coach Jones afterwards. He came up to the booth, and I said, you got over the mountain. And, he didn't dwell too much on the fact that it's been 35 years, and really neither did Owen Corliss, the starting quarterback. Chris actually talked to him and got an interview with him for me. And he just said, it's crazy how long it's been. He's been hearing his parents talk about it, and just basically everybody in the town talk about how long it's been since they beat Deckerville. And, I think us in the media and get more obsessed with stuff like that than those people do, but at the same time, it was a mental thing, I think, the past couple of years for Kingston, not able to get over that. But they came out and they made a statement right away. But Deckerville, I got to give it up to Deckerville. They weren't going away easily. They were able to go tick for tack with Kingston, and it actually was an 18-14 game going into the second quarter. It was still anybody's game, and then Kingston kind of opened up the floodgates. Scored a couple of touchdowns in the second quarter, went up, and then really never let the foot off the gas going on into the second half as well. And, big night for Kingston. And, Coach Jones got the bath afterwards from the Gatorade cooler. It was water in there, not Gatorade, so we didn't have to bet on a color. But I asked him afterwards, I said, with the 50-degree temperature, I said, how'd that feel? And he said, best shower I've ever had. So, He was obviously excited about that, and I talked to a couple people from Kingston, and even after the next day at Wagner Park, and they said it feels so good. Like, it just feels so good to finally get that win over Deckerville, and it's just been looming, and to finally get it, it's just huge for the Kingston Cardinals, and a huge night for Owen Corliss. So, you can't underestimate this kid, because he just completely takes over a game, and we talked about it last week, and did Kingston have anything else offensively? And I said, yeah, they have other pieces. I said, but Owen Corliss is definitely going to be the heart and soul of this offense, and he was. And, he got help from his running backs and even from his wide receivers, which we didn't see a lot of going into this game, was the passing game. And Kingston really opened it up and kind of let the playbook, have a little fun in the playbook.
Yeah, a big win for Kingston, because had they lost this game, then Deck will still be in the the Stars Division League title. But this kind of puts them out of reach right now because Kingston's still undefeated. They got that win over Oakland Christian. They'll have Mayville coming up. You can't look past the KPAC team also. They end the season with Carson Woodport, Sanlac in. Kingston Cardinals, man, when was the last time they really won a good league title like this emphatically?
Emphatically was, what did I say, 2005, I think, was the last time. And then the last time they even shared the title was 2006, I think, and that was the year Owen Corliss was born. So it's been a while since they've done the conference title as well. I talked to Coach Jones afterwards. He said going into the KPAC game, they're not going to underestimate KPAC at all. It's homecoming, a lot of emotions, weird things happen on homecoming. KPAC's a big physical team, he said. He said it's a lot like Deckerville. He doesn't care what the past few weeks have shown for KPAC. He knows that they're going to be in for a test, and they're going to be preparing every single week now as they close out the season. And they got KPAC, like you said, Mayville, and then they close it out with CPS. So two of those conference games, they can finish it out. They are outright champs for the first time in 17 years. That's got to feel pretty good if you're Kingston to have your own destiny in your hands for once.
Real quick here, Kingston, 30 carries, 321 yards, 6 touchdowns, 5 of 9 passing, 145 yards, also 2 touchdowns against Deckerville.
So there's a few things that stuck out for me with Kingston. First of all, Scott, I got to take a sneak peek at your story that's going to be in the paper tomorrow, and Coach Jones talked about this. You knew Deckerville was going to have their big plays. You knew Deckerville wasn't just going to go away, and we saw that in the first half. Kingston scores, and then on the ensuing kickoff, Hunter Garza takes it to the house. Kingston's driving. They're deep in Deckerville territory. Brady Sarbowski takes the fumble, 96 yards for a touchdown. But the way Kingston responded to those, I feel like in the past, sometimes, you know, that could be something that would – that would really affect Kingston. But what we saw on Friday was, okay, Hunter Garza scores a touchdown. The very next time Kingston has the ball, they score a touchdown, I believe, on the first play. Same thing with the Sarbowski fumble. Kingston gets the ball back, they put together a nice drive, and they score a touchdown. So I think that was one of the biggest things. The Kingston offense, they did a lot of different things, and it's something we've talked about a lot with Deckerville this year. They're such a young team, especially without Peter Lapp, one of their only seniors on defense. Kingston really took advantage of that. Deckerville is extremely young in the secondary, so you throw the ball. You throw it to Marquardt, what, 5 times for 200 and something yards? The main thing, I think, was all of the pre-snap motion from Kingston. You noticed Kingston was really killing them on that at the beginning, and then Deckerville tries to make some adjustments, but it's hard to make those adjustments mid-game. And I think that was really key. And then defensively, Kingston just has so much speed. And it was the young guys. It was Owen Corliss' brother, Colin Corliss. It was Tanner James. And they were just flying all over the field. And, you look at Deckerville, and you know what they do on offense. They're physical. They run the ball. They're probably going to be more physical than you are. But when Kingston has that speed to make up for that, that's really hard for Deckerville to get anything going. I was thoroughly impressed with Kingston. Going into the game, I knew they were a great team. I just hadn't had the opportunity to see them in person. Owen Corliss, he lives up to the hype. This might be a little bit of a blasphemy, but he kind of reminded me of like Barry Sanders when he was running the ball, because he would make these cuts. It would look like he would be just about ready to get wrapped up by 3 Deckerville guys, and then he would just stop and make a cut, go all the way across the field, touchdown. It was just his agility is elite. Again, with the pre-snap reads, there's so much motion going on. There's so much read. To be able to make the correct read and to be able to hit the hole, he was just so impressive. And I think Kingston's going to be a tough out in the playoffs this year.
Owen Corliss, 20 carries, 246 yards, 3 touchdowns. His passing yards went to one guy. Marquardt, what's his first name?
Turner.
And two touchdowns also for him, receiving wise. So,
yeah.
And now the answer, like you said, Scott, I asked, is there anybody else other than Owen Corliss? Yeah, once Owen got those touchdowns early, I'm sure later on the other players got involved, just kind of throw off the Deckerville defense at that point.
Well, the first score of the game was James Rail, too.
Okay.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I mean, Rail got three touchdowns, and, you know, it was a big coming out party for him, I guess. He had a big game against Deckerville, and as we, you know, Mike just said, Turner Marquardt, he was, you know, five receptions, 145 yards, two scores. I mean, that's – going into the game, I think he had like 120-some yards receiving. So, you know, he put up those numbers in one game, and then you talk about the defense, and Owen Corliss on special teams, 86 yards return. You know, I know – they don't like to focus in on everything Owen Corliss, but man, it's tough because he, you know, but without the other guys in the field, you know, he doesn't do any of that because he gets help from all his guys. I mean, blocking downfield was amazing. Austin DeRosso was great downfield as a wide receiver to make plays, and you know, the line looked good, and I mean, just everything was clicking for Kingston, and you know, as Mike said, I really think they're going to be a tough out as well. They're big everywhere. They're physical, and you know, it's a different Kingston mindset. And they got speed, a ton of talent, and you know, I give a shout out to Deck Rail as well. Though I really like the Hunter Garza kid. I think going forward, he's going to be a nice piece for them. And I know that Brandon Jones had nothing but total respect for Coach Bill Brown, which you should obviously, because you know he's the Hall of Fame coach. And you know, so nothing but respect for Deckerville, and that 35-year streak, it's amazing they broke it, but man, it's even more amazing that Deckerville was able to hold out for 35 years before they gave up a victory.
Oh, Owen Corliss, 884 yards so far, 17 touchdowns, along with his 380 yards passing, and also seven touchdowns passing.
Yeah, those are just insane. But, Scotty, you mentioned Hunter Garza, just a sophomore quarterback, and he's really impressed this year, I think. In the past, we haven't seen Deckerville go to the air as much as they have this year, and I think it's because of the trust that they have in Hunter Garza and also the receiving options they have in Connor Palmer and Derek Osborne. You know, but Garza goes 6 of 7. I want to say maybe like 60 yards. And when you look at that, that tells you that Kingston took away that home run, the home run plays from Deckerville, because that's usually what you see in the passing game from Deckerville is, you know, a tight end wide open 40 yards down the field. Kingston did a great job of eliminating that. But for Deckerville, you know, we talked about this earlier with Croslex, you know, you still have everything in front of you. For Deckerville, yeah, you're probably out of the conversation in the Stars title conversation, you know, needing a lot of help. But you still got the playoffs in front of you. You know, you got Mayville, Burton Atherton, and Peck. Mayville's going to be a tough one. Nothing against Burton Atherton, but I'm going to give Deckerville the advantage in that one. And then, you know, you wrap it up with Peck. You still got some work to do, but I think that this is a playoff team. And, you know, this is a team that has been showing improvement every week. With the fact that they were so young, I don't want to say they struggled at the beginning of the season, but when you look at that game against K-Pac, where, you know, it looked like K-Pac was going to pull off the win, that was in week two, and then, you know, 3 weeks later, you're hanging around with Oakland Christian. So this is a team that is making improvements every single week, and as long as they can sneak into the playoffs, they're going to be a tough team to beat as well.
All right, the Kingston Cardinals, huge win. Read up all about it in the Tuscola County Advertiser. Tomorrow's Wednesday edition. You can buy the online edition. I can't wait to see that across that midnight hour. I do believe it'll start popping up there. So great job. I'm sure you did a great job and did the story justice there, Scotty. So
I hope so, because there was a lot to put in there after 35 years. But I was just going to say that going on Mike's real quick, Coach Jones did also mention I don't think this is the last time we see Deckerville this season. And I think they'll be even more prepared for us round two. So I hope so, and I hope we get another battle between the two.
Yeah, Decker will have Mayville this week, then Atherton, and then Peck, which we will do to end our Week 9 coverage on Sanic Broadcasting also. That's going to be an interesting game. Thank you, Scotty B. I know you got to head out to a game.
Yeah, big Gareth M. West Volleyball, Deckerville, geez. Bad X and Cass City rematch. Bad X got him the best of five last time. Cass City looking to keep their Greater Thumb West Championship alive and get the win tonight.
All right. We did this coverage justice also on the radio show here. Kingston Decorah was a huge win for Kingston, so tip of the hat to those Cardinals. Thank you, Scotty B., and we'll have more here on Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show. We're going into overtime once again, Mike Gallagher. We'll be right back.
In these uncertain times, fear can be debilitating or just simply overwhelming. Obviously, it can have a negative impact on your health as well as your wealth. The Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency is the solution to just such problems. Let's face it, reviewing and obtaining the correct health insurance coverage is more crucial now than ever before.
Open enrollment is upon us. Call today for an appointment, 810-984-1373.
Hi, I'm Grant Smith, owner of the Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency. If you are a senior 65 or older and you would like alternatives to your current health insurance, you don't have to wait. Make an appointment and come talk to us. We have policies you can buy throughout the year. And remember, we are here throughout the year to help you with any health insurance questions. The Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency, the right decision.
Tired of your slow internet service that buffers when you're trying to stream a movie? Tired of hearing the internet is out again? Highline has started installing its new fiber to the home service in Sanilac County, and that solves these common internet problems forever. Connect every TV, phone, computer, and more to Highline's internet service, and you'll have the fastest internet connection available anywhere in the U.S. No contracts, unlimited data, and a fiber connection make Highline the best option in the thumb for your home's internet connection. Visit HighlineFast.com today for more information.
From Graff Chevrolet Buick in Sandusky, here's Sam and Brandon.
Finally, we're starting to see new vehicles hit the lot on a regular basis.
Yep, perfect time for truck season.
You mean truck month?
Nope, truck season.
Truck month.
Truck season.
Truck month.
Take a look at the program.
Okay, truck season it is.
And guess what, Sam?
We got trucks.
Yes, sir, we've got trucks. We have three Chevy Silverados with the Trail Boss package and your choice of the 2.7-liter turbo, a 5.3-liter, or the very popular 3-liter Duramax diesel. We've also got a well-equipped LT, all here and ready for delivery.
And with up to $2,750 in incentive cash, plus an additional $1,000 in accessory cash, it's a great time to get your new truck.
And we have more than just trucks.
We also have a Z71 Suburban, LS Tahoe, and Buick SUVs.
And if you're looking for a Chevy Equinox, we'll have that too.
Truck season is here at Graff Chevrolet Buick on M46 in Sandusky. Stop in before they're all gone.
Welcome back to Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show, the Tuesday edition. We are definitely in overtime, and still on the topic of high school eight-player football with our coverage area teams in the Blue Water Area Conference, North Central Thumb League, and one independent league team also in high school eight-player football. We talked Greater Thumb Conference yesterday. You'll hear a full podcast of that come later Wednesday, tomorrow. Mike Gallagher with me from the Sanilac County News. The free edition of the Sanilac County News will be in your mailboxes, so also subscribe or get a subscription. They'll have all that info inside the newspaper also. Some other area games in high school eight-player football. Bay City All Saints gets the win over Carsonville Port Sanilac. That is in the Stripes division.
I got that right.
You're welcome. So All Saints are kind of, you know, kind of in the back looking in now because they are 3-3. And right now at this point in league play, it's the Peck Pirates who are 5-0 in league play. All Saints are 3-2 in league play. Peck has a one-game lead against the New Haven Merritt Mustangs also. So we'll get into that in just a bit. Okay, so the scores. Ashley defeated Akron Fairgrove in overtime, 52-46, while the All Saints defeated Carsonville Port Sanilac, 55-24. New Haven Merritt over Caseville, 52-6. Peck over Kindy North Huron, 44-6. Carsonville Port Sanilac losing to the All Saints, you know, another tough loss for them here.
That's a tough one because they were actually leading in that game early on. They're just a young team right now. They it's just a tough stretch for them right now. They caught New Haven Merritt when New Haven Merritt was on their upswing with their quarterback being back. All Saints is playing well right now. You know, there is some good things to take away from the game. Nick Lewis had another solid performance, 29 carries, 197 yards, 3 touchdowns. That puts him at 891 yards and 13 TDs.
He could be making one of our lists there coming up.
He should be in the conversation, you know, so he's been great this year. Mikey Jasso, 14 carries, 73 yards and a touchdown. And then Colton Sharp, the sophomore quarterback, 9 carries, 65 yards. So there is some good things to take away from the game. As a team, they rushed the ball 59 times, 342 yards, 3 touchdowns. This is a team, they're going to get back on track against Caseville this week. The Peck game, you know, we saw it last year. They took Peck into overtime. I don't think anybody was expecting that. I don't think Peck was expecting that. And I think CPS, they're going to use this Caseville game to get things back on track and then try and play spoiler. You have the opportunity against Peck, and then you have Kingston week 9. Those are both going to be tall tasks. But, you know, you can't really count out CPS. Nick Lewis, if they can get him going in these games, you know, they have a shot.
Akron Fairgrove Vikings lose in overtime to Ashley. They fall to 2-3, so kind of far behind in league standings. Bay City All Saints themselves 3-2. North Heron 3-2 after their loss to the Peck Pirates, by the way. And New Haven Merritt defeated Caseville themselves 52-6. And here we are. The Peck Pirates had a huge win over North Heron 44-6. Pretty big gap. I thought it'd be a little bit closer here, but Peck Pirates, you know, they've been running roughshod since that week one loss against Brown City, and that kind of fired up. And they're firing through the Stripes division right now, and now they have a showdown against New Haven Merritt Mustangs, who are capable of beating this Peck Pirate team.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but North Huron is a team that Peck traditionally struggles against. They have not beaten North Huron in 7 years. In those 7 years, they lost to them 9 times, as they had a couple of playoff matchups as well. It's just a team that Peck in the past has not matched up very well against. So to see a win like that with that score, that's just extremely impressive. I think people were expecting Peck to win, but maybe not by that large of a margin. But we've seen them win like that in all of their Stripes games this year. They haven't really had a close one. Beat Caseville 54-0, Akron Fairgrove 50-22, Ashley 42-26, All Saints 46-18, and then North Huron 44-6. I think when you looked at the schedule, we kind of expected this to be the toughest stretch for Peck with All Saints, North Huron, and Merritt back-to-back-to-back. And it is shaping up to be like that. New Haven Merritt, after struggling to start the season, they suffered a loss to Ashley, I believe, Ashley or All Saints. So their one loss is kind of an outlier, I would say, though, because that was early on in the season, and since that point, they've been rolling. So I'm really looking forward to this matchup. We've talked about it, I feel like, every single week. But Caleb Lettner, another huge game, 307 rushing yards, 22 carries. He had 4 touchdowns on the ground, and then he had a receiving touchdown as well. So I think he has 2 or 3 receiving touchdowns. So he's kind of doing it in a variety of ways. He is now at 1,691 rushing yards. That puts him 512 yards away from breaking the school record for rushing yards in a season, and that's with 3 games to go.
Yeah.
I'm thinking what I'm hoping for is you know, New Haven Merritt keeps it a little bit closer with Peck, so they kind of have to keep giving them the ball. You know, obviously 512 yards is a little bit out of reach, but it would be nice to see him have the opportunity, you know, to get 25, 30 carries in a game and see what he can do. And again, it all goes back to the offensive line for Peck. Mm-hmm. You know, they were great last year as underclassmen with their, you know, first year starting as at the varsity level. But Peck, I mean, they've impressed this year. And for you and me both, we have not seen them since week 1 against Brown City. Because they were on the road, they've been on the road for a majority of their games after that. Last week, it would have been an opportunity to see them, but we were at Deckerville Kingston. So I'm really looking forward to seeing Peck against a team that's more their level. We've now seen that Brown City is a very, very good team. So that week one loss for Peck doesn't really look that bad anymore. I mean, it didn't look that bad at the beginning of the year, but now with some context, we realize that that's not a bad loss by any means. So I'm looking forward to seeing this team, and I think they're going to take care of business against New Haven Merritt.
Yeah, it's a Saturday afternoon game. It's homecoming also. It's a very college-like afternoon atmosphere, you could say, in the air. I love these Saturday games at Peck. Unfortunately, I got to miss this one. We're going to do our Brown City Mesa coverage on Saturday afternoon on 92.5 WBGB. We're going to be doing a Saturday afternoon later game. We'll talk about that in the next segment. But we will catch the Peck Pirates when they go up against Dackerville Eagles in Week 9. So that's going to be a very interesting game there.
Yeah, I love obviously being a Peck alum. Peck homecoming is one of the better traditions in the Thumb, I feel like, because you have that Saturday homecoming game. That was actually something back in the day. Peck played all of their games on Saturday because they didn't have any stadium lights.
Yeah.
When they finally did get stadium lights, they continued to play their homecoming game on Saturday as kind of a nod to the tradition. And it's just a great day in Peck. You know, you got the parade in the morning. You got the chili dinner in between the parade and the game. And usually it's a great crowd for the game. And it seems like, you know, every year it's one of these games that has huge league implications as well.
Chili's good, by the way.
The chili's good, by the way,
yeah, you eat that in the cafeteria, you can bring it out. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm really looking forward to that. And as you mentioned, Brown City playing Saturday as well. For all you Thumb football fans, Peck kicks off at 2. Brown City kicks off at 3. So if you maybe want to try and do the double dip, you can catch a lot of football on
Saturday.
You're
going to try to.
I'm going to give it a try. Yeah, we'll see.
All right, so that's a big game. But here's the thing. Peck Pirates got to focus, because if they can beat New Haven Merritt, they can win the outright Stripes Division title after, if they can, not look past Carson Port Stanley, because they got 2 league games left. New Haven Merritt can get back in the discussion. They do have 2 losses, one to Ashley in league play, the other to Burton Atherton also. That was non-league.
Okay.
So,
and
yeah.
That was week one. Yeah.
Burton Atherton, and then they lost to Ashley the next week.
So, I mean, those...
So this might be a different look to the New Haven Merritt.
New Haven Merritt was a different team at the beginning of the year. They had some injuries. They're at full strength. They have been the past couple weeks, and now we're seeing the full potential of this team. And they're going to be tough to stop. Their quarterback does a lot of good things. He looked really good against CPS when I saw him a couple weeks ago. So, I mean, this isn't going to be a gimme game for Peck. It's going to be a tough one. But the way that they handled North Huron is extremely encouraging for this matchup with New Haven.
All right. Elsewhere in the Stars division of NCTL, it was Mayville over Genesee 50-0. Big win there. Auburn Hills Oakland Christian defeated Burton Atherton 50-12. Auburn Hills Oakland Christian just a game behind. They got beat by Kingston. So they need help from Mayville in a couple weeks to defeat Kingston. Meanwhile, KPAC losing by 6 points to Farwell. Quite a setback here for KPAC. After starting off pretty good positively, I don't know what's going on there. But it's good to have him in the 8-player football league, though. I mean, you can't look past that team.
Well,
40 points put up, you know.
Right, and even if... Okay, you lost to Farwell. What was it? How much did they lose by?
46-40. Just 6 points.
46-40.
Yeah.
Now you compare that to last year, the last couple years playing in the Greater Thumb East. You might lose to Ubley 60-0, or you play Harbor Beach and lose 50-0. You know, at least you have a game where you can be competitive. I'm sure that was a very fun game if you were a KPAC player, KPAC fan. I think KPAC feels good about their decision. They've picked up some wins this year, and they're going to be ahead of the curve for when these other teams start going down to 8-player. KPAC, they still have a couple games where they could potentially pick up a win or two. So
yeah, 2-4. They played against a Farwell team who was 6-0 now.
Is that true? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Look out.
I was going to say, I don't know anything about Farwell, but
yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
361 total yards for KPEC, 150 passing yards, 211 rushing yards also. Zach Langmesser, getting the carries. He had 1, 2, 3, 4 touchdowns. For the KPEC Chiefs. Carlos Uribe Arce, 7-17, 143 yards passing, 3 touchdown passes, had an interception also. Rushing-wise, Langmesser, 18 attempts, 136 yards rushing, and two rushing touchdowns also. So big shout out to him. Carlos Urabi Arce, 65 yards rushing. He's quite a dynamic player, so yeah.
Yeah,
he was
exciting to watch in the Deckerville game.
Yeah. All right, we're going to talk about, speaking of KPAC, they lost to Brown. No, they would play Brown City in Week 9, I believe. Mm-hmm. We got the Brown City Green Devils to talk about also. When we come back here on the Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show, we are in overtime on a Tuesday edition. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Steve Kohler with Kohler's Propane. Looking back, it's been a real nice summer, but each day is closer to fall and cooler weather. When it's time for your furnace to go on, will you be ready? You will be if you depend on Kohler's Propane. For 73 years, we've been keeping homes and businesses in the Thumb and Blue Water area warm and cozy. Our goal is to provide you with quality products and superior service. We guarantee your price for one full year, offer free tank installation, free safety inspection, plus keep full and budget plans are available. At Kohler's, we have a commitment to our customers and communities we serve to continue to provide the level of service we would expect ourselves. For information, call us toll free, 800-572-2191. Or visit our website, getkohlers.com. And remember, nobody gives you gas like Kohler's.
Mark McGarry here from Moore Motor Sales and Caro. If you are planning a new car or truck purchase, or you have a current lease expiring, it's time to start planning ahead. Inventory shortages and extended order delivery times are expected to continue. Whether you want to buy or lease, turn your car in or trade it in, we can help you make the best decision to capitalize on the current market conditions. Ford Motor Company is offering an order incentive of $1,000 on many vehicle lines over and above any other rebate to place your custom order. That's Moore Motor Sales just west of Caro on M81. Visit us on the web at themooreautogroup.com and come see why for 57 years your friends and neighbors have been driving to Caro.
Welcome back to Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show. In overtime in the 7 o'clock hour, we will join the Jesse Kelly Show in progress as usual on our Tuesday night edition. October 4th, 2022, on this National Taco Day, National Cinnamon Roll Day, National Vodka Day, and a National Truckers Appreciation Day, by the way.
Wow, lots going on today.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into our final High School A-Player Football segment, focusing on the Brown City Green Devils. Their lone loss was to a very good Martin team. They bounced back and got a pretty good win over Britton Deerfield. Mm-hmm. Pretty good substantial win there for Brown City. Now they'll have a Saturday game coming up here. But first, let's talk about that Britton Deerfield school. Patriots, 60-38. Yeah, Britton Deerfield put up 38 points. It was tied after the first quarter, 8-8. Tied again at the end of the half where each team scored 14 points apiece. So 22-22 at that point. Brown City took a 2-touchdown lead in the third quarter, but Britton Deerfield also still within a touchdown. They had 8 points, but then Brown City pulled away in the fourth quarter to Britton Deerfield School's 8 points. That was still a tough game here. 60-38 looks large, but really still pretty close, especially when Britton Deerfield put up 353 rushing yards, 121 passing yards.
Yeah, obviously neither of us were at Britton Deerfield, but when you look at that box score, it kind of reminds you of the Suttons Bay game.
Yeah.
When Suttons Bay, you know, hung with them and Brown City kind of just grinded them out. And by the end of the game, you know, it was hard for Suttons Bay to keep up. And I think maybe that's what happened against Britton Deerfield. I think this is a huge win for Brown City because obviously the Suttons Bay win really told us where Brown City was at. Martin's the number one team in the state in Division I for a reason. So maybe Brown City isn't quite that good yet. But you come right back and you beat Britton Deerfield, which is a team that, you know, had a nice playoff run last year. Is a team, you know, that's not quite as good as Sutton's Bay, but, you know, one of the top-tier teams in Division One. So Brown City, it was great to see that because it just helps reestablish the fact that Brown City is for real. Not that anybody was looking at the Martin loss and saying, oh, Brown City is a fraud, because that's just a really good Martin team. But if you're Brown City, you did have to get back, and you did have to get a win here, and they did. I mean, they took care of business. There's not much more you can ask for. Again, they lean on the running game. That's their strong point. That's what's gotten them to this point in the season, and just a great win for Brown City. I was very excited to see that and to see the score, you know, because Britton Deerfield's a team that can put up points, but when you score 60, I mean, you're going to win most of your games, so...
Yeah, let's talk about the stats. Do you have the stat numbers here for
So what really stood out for me was the play of Lawson Cooper, mm-hmm. The quarterback. He's been he's really added another element to this offense the past couple weeks. Just a freshman.
Just a little guy, too.
Just a little guy,
but
too.
But quick.
Yeah.
He's quick. He's slippery and quick.
Right, yeah. But he's added a little bit in the passing game. Against Britton Deerfield, 9 carries, 82 yards, and a touchdown. The past 3 weeks, against Sutton's Bay, 72 yard. Or sorry, I have that flip-flopped. He had 82 yards against Sutton's Bay, 72 yards and 2 touchdowns against Britton Deerfield, 50 yards and a touchdown against Martin. So when you have two backs like Kyle Affer and Clint Ford, to be able to throw in your quarterback as an option in the run game as well, it's already hard enough to stop Kyle Affer and Clint Ford. But when you have that third option, I mean, that just makes them such a dangerous offense. But again, it was a heavy dose of Kyle Affer, obviously on the offensive side of the ball. But defensively, he sealed the game at the end with a pick six. So he's making plays on both sides of the ball. Clint Ford, you know, he has 84 carries, 514 yards, 7 touchdowns. And then you look at the receiving numbers, 5 of his 20 catches this year have been for touchdowns. So with him, you know, he can do a lot of things offensively. He's a great blocker offensively, and then he's one of your top guys on the defense. But we talked about this after the Sutton's Bay game. It's the offensive line for Brown City. 3 seniors there. You know, they get the job done, and it's kind of the perfect formula, because Kyle Affer is already tough to bring down. Mm-hmm. You know, he's already going to break a tackle or two anyway. But when you have an offensive line that's opening up holes like that, you know, Kyle Affer, he's not getting hit until he's already 10, 15 yards down the field. And you look at his numbers right now, he's averaging over 10 yards a carry. So the perfect formula for that offense. You throw in Lawson Cooper, and, you know, they're going to be extremely tough to stop. The defense, again, you know, made plays when they had to. They wore down Britton Deerfield, just like we saw in the Sutton's Bay game. Yeah, you gave up a lot of points to Sutton's Bay, but at the end of the day, you wore them out. You made plays when you had to, and we saw the same thing against Britton Deerfield. Yeah, Britton Deerfield scored a bunch of points, and they kept up with them, but at the end of the game, you shut them down, and you made plays when you had to. You had to pick six to end the game. I mean, I can't say enough about this win for Brown City. This is just huge.
Yeah, and Lawson Cooper can run, mm-hmm. as a quarterback. He can pass, throwing touchdowns, too. So he's got the playmakers out there to do that. And also, you know, just manage the game well also. So big credit to the offensive line. That doesn't happen without that offensive line here for Brown City also.
Absolutely not. And, you know, their offense, you know, they do a lot of the power run game, the double wing. They have some of that spread formation, but mm-hmm. it seems like they've just stuck with the power running with the double wing, because, you know, why do you have to go to anything else? What's you don't need to throw the ball around. Now, Cooper, he did throw the ball quite a bit against Britton Deerfield.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just that power run game. And with how physical Brown City is, by the time you get to that fourth quarter, things get a lot easier because you've worn down your opponent.
Well, it's not going to be easy this coming week. They got Mesick coming up, and that will be our CNAC broadcasting game of the day. I would say night, but a game of the week will be a Saturday afternoon kickoff at 3 p.m. Our pregame coverage starts around 2:30 p.m. at Brown City High School as they take on Mesick. Now, by the way, the lone loss for Brown City was against Martin, 49-6. The week after that, last week, Martin Clippers lost to North Point Christian 19-35, so they have their first loss in the season against North Point Christian, who seems to be a pretty good team right now, top of the league. They've beaten Suttons Bay, a common opponent. Morenci, they've beaten Martin now, also Maple Valley, also another common opponent. They've beaten Britton Deerfield, also 43-16 earlier in week three. They are 6-0 right now. They've only allowed 78 points and have scored 312 points, North Point Christian Mustangs.
There is a little bit of context that has to go with that. North Point Christian is, I believe, a Class C school. I want to say their enrollment is like over 300.
Here we go.
So they're one of those schools. They drop down to 8-player. They're not going to be eligible for the postseason.
Wow.
I'm not sure what the reasoning was for that, but that is a team that is much bigger than most of the teams that they're playing.
Yeah.
So
320, according to Michigan High School Football website.
So, I mean, yeah, that's quite a bit bigger than the 215 cutoff. But yeah, I mean, North Point, great team, obviously. Yeah. But I mean, you're going to beat the smaller teams when you're almost, well, you're over 100 kids larger than most of the schools you play.
So back to Mesick, their lone loss was to Marion, 50-6. Marion themselves, 6-0. They have 151 students, and they're pretty a decent team also. They were 10-2 last year, losing in the semifinals in Powers North Central, 8-73. Oof. So Mesick, their loss was 50-6. Mesick, since then, has been you know, three straight wins right now also.
Yeah, so it's we've been doing this all season with Brown City's schedule, starting with, you know, week two, Maple Valley, Onekama, Suttons Bay, Martin, Britton Deerfield, Mesick. You kind of look at the opponents that they've played.
Is it Mesick or Mesick?
I have no idea.
Okay, I'll ask when I get there. I'll have to look up on the Michigan's state website on pronunciation guide.
Yeah. But you look at these games, you try and look at the opponent and who they've played and those scores and this and that, and it's, we just don't know anything. We don't know anything about these teams. We knew Suttons Bay was going to be good, obviously. We knew Martin was going to be good. But we really don't know anything about Mesick. But, I mean, the record speaks for itself. And I think at the beginning of the season, when we were talking about Brown City, we knew that this was going to be the stretch. Suttons Bay, Martin, Britton Deerfield, Mesick. And I think if we would have told Brown City before the season that, hey, you might get through that stretch 3-1, I think they definitely would have taken that. So this is going to be a big one for Brown City. It's going to be a big one for the community because, you know, they haven't had a whole lot of home games. They had the Pet game was at home, Suttons Bay was at home, and then this will be their third home game. So it's going to be great for the community. They're going to have homecoming. And should be a big crowd, should be a fun game.
All right, we will be there for our Salem Broadcasting, 92.5 FM. WBGV, 2:30 p.m. is the pregame approximate, kickoff at 3 p.m., and Mike Gallagher will try to catch the end of this game, trying to get pictures of both games. He'll be in Peck, his home base, his home school also for the Peck homecoming.
It's we'll see how it plays out. Usually the halftime homecoming festivities kind of throw everything off, but maybe if Peck pulls away before the second half starts, I'll be able to catch a majority of the Brown City game.
But all right, and catch it on 92.5 FM. We'll also be streaming it Saturday afternoon, our game of the week. For Mike Gallagher and earlier, for Scott Bosby of the Tuscola County Advertiser, thank you for joining us for this Tuesday edition. Another Week 6 recap and looking ahead to Week 7 games. And I think we did that yesterday, Monday, so you can re-listen to the replay on the Monday Looking Ahead games also. So we won't go through it again, but you can just listen to the podcast form come Wednesday version of the Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show. Do we really need to go through it again or not?
No, I think
I think we've covered up. We're on way over time.
We've taken up enough of Jesse Kelly's time. So.
Plus, I'm getting late for bowling. They're waiting for me right now. I got bowling league at Melody Lanes in Dakarville. I got to get over there, Mike.
Yeah,
so.
Yep.
And then you're taking the rest of the night off also. So.
Yeah, I'll be taking the night off. Busy week last week, busy weekend with Wagner Park and the Carsonville Volleyball Invitational. So taking the rest of the night off, but I'll be back at it tomorrow. And looking forward to it.
All right, Mike Gallagher's from the San Luis County News sports writer. And also pick up your free edition. Actually, you really don't have to. It's going to be in your mailbox. Or can you just pick them up, the newsstands, if it's free?
They'll be on. Okay. Well, that's a good question.
Yeah, I always wonder that. That's a good question there, Jody.
Yeah.
Okay. But you'll have it in your mailbox. If not, get your subscription and subscribe, because this is when they really lower the price down substantially, also for your paper and your online edition.
Yep, so, we have a lot of great deals for yearly subscriptions. If you like what you see, reach out to us, give us a call, sign up. If you don't like what you see, if there's something different you'd like to see in the paper, reach out, tell us. You know, we're always looking to get better. So, looking forward to the feedback we get from that and wrapping up the fall coverage.
And that does it for Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show. I'm Eddie Feary. That's Mike Gallagher of San Lake County News. Mike, thank you.
Absolutely, buddy.
And thank you, folks, for listening to Sportsline Radio on WMIC AM 660 95.3 FM. We join Jesse Kelly in progress.